All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Rocket X podcast. I am your host, Victor Rancor. Today, I have a guest on, somebody that's going to be able to help you stay busy year-round and give you some points and tips on how to not only grow your business, but grow it profitably, which is obviously the most important thing. I got Kate Donovan with Camp Digital. Kate, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, the reason I want to bring you on is obviously one of the biggest and most important parts of any home service business is marketing, right? And understanding marketing. And I talk to my clients all the time and understanding marketing as a whole, right? Everybody's like, and I feel maybe it's because we got lazy during COVID or whatever it is. Like, all of us just want to throw money at digital, right? When there's other channels and other avenues. And I really wanted to really obviously highlight, how do we become number one on Google? How do we dominate our market? How do we show up when people are looking for us? But how can we do things, especially heading into an election year and things like that, that we could really start getting ahead of, right? Because I made a post the other day and I said, well, you guys are all fat and happy, worried about summer. I'm already thinking about October, right? I don't give a shit. Summer's here. I'm going to make money. How do I start planning for October and being ready? So some of those things we want to touch on today. So I'm excited to have your wealth of knowledge. But let's first off, if people don't know you, let's introduce yourself and tell you a little bit about you and where you come from and what you do.
No, I appreciate it. Again, thank you so much for having me, Victor. I listen to your podcasts all the time and follow you on social media, so really neat to be here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I am Katie Donovan, CEO of and founder of Camp Digital. We are a privately held, bootstrapped digital marketing company. We actually like to describe ourselves as a technology company that does digital marketing, and we are exclusive to the trades. So that's something that's kind of unique about us. All we do is the trades, and the trades is all we do. So I absolutely love what we do. We are a Google Premier partner, one of only a handful. Those less than 3% of the agencies in the United States can say that, Google Premier partner. So pretty proud of that. Work with Bing, Yelp, Reddit, all the fun stuff out there. And patent holder as well. So we have a couple patents on our technology. And one last thing, and I promise I'll stop talking about Camp, but CAMP actually stands for Capacity Aligned Marketing Platform. It's probably one of our biggest differentiators, is everything we do ties back to the capacity of a business. You know, you and I were just talking a few minutes ago, and I've never had anybody in my entire career ever call me and say, Katie, I'm taking my wife out for dinner tonight. I had the best click-through day of my life. Like, no, it's our board's full or my board's not full. And so we decided to align our entire technology and our marketing around that.
Well, I align my entire life around that, just so you know. I mean, that's not, yeah. And I, you know, I've had some tough conversations over the last couple of days, right? And just like anything else, like, you know, obviously I'm in Dallas and I'm thinking, man, it's Dallas, it's summertime, we're going to be rolling, right? And then guess what? Just like anything else in life, right? Fucking hurricane comes to town, right? And there's always some kind of road bump or something you don't see and something you can't really plan for, and you have to pivot. And I think that that's something we have to talk about, right? How do we stay completely full every day? So like, I'm relentless to my call board. Like, you don't want to be around me when my call board is light, because I'm not going to be nice, right? Because that's your money. If I don't have a full call board every day, I can't make any money. If my guys have no opportunity, they're not going to work for me. And when I go tell my employees and I go bring these technicians, and I say, I'm going to get you calls every single day, and I don't provide that, I failed, right? So, and that's one of those things that a lot of, I find when I partner with companies or I meet with them or they hire us, that's one of the first things I notice. It's like, if it comes in, it comes in. Or, hey, the board might be full today. Or, hey, that's the best we can do. And I'm like, okay, that's right away we can figure out how to make money. So let's talk a little bit, how's Camp, like, how do you do that? Like, I mean, obviously, like, everybody says I want a full board. What are some of the technology behind Camp that's allowing you to actually keep that call board full?
I think it's being able to react to the call board, right? I think just the way you described it, the call board's not a one-way street. The call board should not only just be what we react to, but what we proactively act to. So you should be able to plan accordingly. So one of the things our system does is look at, you know, if you're at 70% capacity today, and someone like yourself wants to be at 120% any given day, right? But if you're at 70% capacity, do I expand my area that I'm willing to drive out to, right? In real time, do I change an offer? If you're doing any kind of drain business and you add a camera inspection and a 2-hour arrival guarantee, we've seen an 86% lift in your conversion rate by adding that into the offer. But if you're busy, you can't add that in. So the call board shouldn't just be something that we're reacting to. We should be able to be proactive against. So our technology kind of leans into that. It'll look at what your board's at and make all kinds of adjustments and updates. Like I said, offer updates, adding additional services, changing the service area you're advertising in. the contrary is true as well. If you're super full, you're at 95% full, bring your service area in, because I'm not going to be able to take a job an hour and a half away. I don't have the time to drive out there, but I could take another job if it was within 20 minutes.
Well, and that's one of those things is people don't realize that I do it, but I'm doing it manually. You know what I mean? So all those are things that, you know, smart operators know to do, right? And, you know, for me, like even the conversation, like, you know, when I'm not busy, right, do I run a free diagnostic? And I've seen that obviously if I'm on Google PPC and I run a free diagnostic, the obviously the rate booking rate goes way up, right? Some people are like, I can't believe you're going to do that. I'm like, I can't believe you're sitting around not doing shit, right? Like, yes. I don't like get me in front of a customer. So I mean, that's pretty powerful for that to be able to do that. And that's just like anything else in business, like we're trying to figure out a way to automate everything. Like I don't want, I don't, one less thing for me to do. Like, you know, I had a conversation. I'm about to do AI after hours answering and all these like things. And it's like, man, I'm just trying to figure out a way to obviously cut down human error, which is number one thing, right? If human error is obviously, you know, I love humans, they got to have them. But at the end of the day, they're not robots. They're going to make errors. How do I reduce that? You know, so things like that can streamline your business are vitally important. But
yeah, 100%.
But how, you know, obviously we're, you know, that's a in digital marketing side as far as, you know, keeping your call board full. But like, you know, sometimes that's just not feasible. Like not every company can just like, hey, turn up my PPC today and I can spend, you know, because some of these guys, they don't even have like, I had a call with a client the other day and I'm on with the phone with him. He's like, you know, I'm doing this on PPC. I'm like, what's your booking rate? I'm like, just turn it off. Like, what's the point? You're not going to make any money that way. So some of these guys don't really have that capacity or have the money to do that. Is there any other things that Camp's doing on outside of digital, or what are the other things you guys are doing to keep those boards full?
Well, first things first, I think what you said is so powerful and shouldn't just be quickly passed by. I had a client call me a couple months ago and he said, Katie, I need more drain calls. And I said, no, you don't. Your cancellation rate for drains is 42%. You don't need more calls. You need to go fix those. Stop paying Google and go fix that issue. I had a guy call me, a CEO of a mid-sized PE group, and he was flexing a little bit. And he said, gosh, if he hears this, I'm in trouble. But he was flexing a little bit. And he said, hey, Katie, I think I'm going to give you $1 million more next year. What are you going to do with that? And I said, I'm going to tell you to keep it. Go buy two solid dispatchers and somebody to help train your CSRs. And you'll make more money than giving me $1 million, hands down.
And it's a real thing. Like, obviously, I'm out here right now doing a startup, right? Like, Fast Response, it's here for 65 days, right? I got here, they had no employees, no operation, no nothing in place. And today I was one of those days where you don't want to be anywhere fucking near me because I sat in the call center all day, right? And I watch my Google, my PPC calls, I watch more than anything. I watch the call tracking metrics. I watch them come in. I get notified when they come in. I get notified if they get booked. Like, I watch them like the hawk because I know that's the fastest way to burn money. Some people just say, here's your money, and then figure it out. And then they find out, you know, a month later, they spent 30 grand and got no return, right? I watch them like a hawk. And today, you know, we've been training new call center reps. And as you know, that's one of the hardest positions in a business to really train, and my call center managers decided we're just going to let them be on the phones and they're going to be fine. And I'm going through it. I'm not in the office, and I'm like, I'm starting to listen, like, okay, why is this one only a minute long? How come this one's only 45 seconds? Why is this a minute and 30? Like, that doesn't sound right. And I started listening to them, and I'm like, holy fuck, I'm going to fucking kill somebody today. So, you know, it's that.
I'm getting a visual of you sitting in your car listening to these calls, driving through Dallas, like, taking on, like, street fighting.
I go fucking full red, and I'm, like, calling everybody, and I'm like, calling my managers, and I'm like, and I have these, like, seasoned people that are sitting there right now. I know they're right next to them, right? And they're just allowing them to fucking take the phone calls. And it's that important. Like, if you can't book the call, don't market. If you don't have your call center down, don't spend the money, because at the end of the day, you're never going to get it. Like, even I have, you know, a lot of people like, oh, I don't like doing social media ads. If I run Facebook ads, I don't get any return on them. I said, that's because you don't know how to work the leads, right? Like, we're doing millions upon millions of dollars a month on Facebook ads, but we know how to work the leads. If a lead comes in, it's not like, hey, I'm going to let the CRM respond with a text message and ask them if they want to book. They're getting a text message if you set a Facebook lead with me, within 65 seconds on average, there's someone on the phone calling you. You probably just submitted your form, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, this is Victor with Fast Response. How are you doing today? And we're on top of it like crazy, but our booking rates are way higher than everybody because I'm not going to let those leads go to death. Right. And then the same thing on vice versa, nurturing those leads as well. You know, just because a lead came in and didn't get booked doesn't mean that we shouldn't be questioning everything. Right. I don't know about most of my clients. I have a call tracker all day long. They have every single call came in. What happened with it? And the manager's going through it, and we're going back and calling every one of them. I'm my call center manager. If we don't miss a call, they're calling back to verify that there's a reason, like they didn't really want to book. Right. And it just costs too much money per lead.
And no one's shopping this category. No one wakes up and is like, I wonder what a new water heater is going to cost. I wonder what a new air conditioner. There's a reason they're calling. I literally wish I could clone you. I had a really good mentor in the space say to me one day, and he's the CMO of a very large group. And he said, Katie, good marketing cannot overcome bad operations, but good operations can overcome bad marketing. And so you nailed it. I mean, half the time, I think it's just looking at the calls, what came in, dispositioning those calls, going back, looking at your booking rate, looking at your cancellations rate. Are you dispatching for revenue? Are you call by call management? Like, what are you guys doing to make sure you're taking advantage of every opportunity?
Yeah. And it's, you know, obviously it's when this is like, obviously people are like, well, how come some companies succeed and some don't? Right. And this is going to tell you right now, this is it. And then obviously how you run the calls obviously matters as well. But at the end of the day, if you don't book the calls, it doesn't matter what you do. You're never going to scale these things. Right. And you have to be relentless. Like, and I think that's something like we read in my business, like we question everything, right? Just because a call center rep said that they weren't interested or they don't want to book or whatever it was, question everything. And I think that's something that's allowed us to get a higher booking rate and get more people out there. And that's why it's allowed us to hire people too, because a lot of people have that. Obviously, it's like a funnel, right? And you get the drip out the bottom. Well, that drip down the bottom, it's smaller. That allows me to have more employees. That means gives me more bandwidth. I can get out and I can run more calls and bring up more revenue. We can talk about that as well, but even
I know
we can talk about that all day, but even like for me, even if the lead comes in and I can't run that lead or whatever it is, one of the biggest failures I see in contractors is that our call center reps or customer calls in, hey, when's your next availability? Well, we don't have a spot for like 3 days, and then they click, right? So the number one thing that we do in our business is we make sure we get all their information first before we allow them to know any kind of booking time or whatever, because I want to make sure that I still get that customer in my CRM as well.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. And you asked kind of upfront, like, what are some of the things you can do? You really spent the first part of this conversation talking about what I can do today. You know, how am I answering the calls? How am I dispatching the calls? How am I running the calls? But then there's the, what can I do for tomorrow? Right. Yeah. And you had said something earlier that I wish everyone would think this way, but you said, hey, you're thinking about today. I'm thinking about October. Right. Yeah. I'm thinking about November. And I think it's going to be really, really important to think about not just what's happening on that call today, which is important, but also how is that going to affect my business in a month, in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year? Because that's really where those, I think, the winners and the losers in the space are going to come out.
Well, yeah, I talk about, obviously, I'm trying to grow my database, whether they booked me or not. Yep. And keep in mind, you know, obviously, I own a call center that does outbound calling. I own a software that does reactivation of your client list, stuff like that. And I know the value of it, right? But keep in mind, like, some of you smaller contractors, right, you can't book every call, but you can collect all their data, right? And I tell people, we're really your data collection company, right? I want to collect as much data as I can, because the more data that I have, the more money I can make. And if I get the customer's data, I can retarget them and remarket them in different, a multitude of different ways, right? But that customer, someone calls in today, air conditioner's broken down. And in Texas, I found out real quick, Cali, I feel like, I don't know, it's a little bit different, but it is speed to driveway. Like, these fucking guys, they will call four companies and they won't cancel either of them. Whoever gets to the driveway first, and they'll cancel the rest of them, right? And it's the craziest thing I've seen. And obviously, you know, they're heat. They don't, because a lot of times, a lot of contractors don't show up. So they're like, I'll call a couple of them. One of them shows up. That's freaking great. But that customer will not remember who that contractor that serviced them was. They won't remember who was out there. They're not that memorable. They probably weren't running good process. They were probably in and out pretty fast. So I take that customer, I never booked them, but I can retarget them in October, and I can be able to get them booked for a furnace tune-up. And maybe I get a replacement opportunity, maybe I get a membership, maybe I get something out of it. But now my marketing didn't go to waste. And what you said is true. I made a post on Facebook the other day. I said, everybody's all fat and happy thinking about summer, and all I'm thinking about is October, right? How do I stay busy in October? How do I start taking market share in October? Because I want to be able to recruit. That's recruiting season to me, right? That's the hiring season. That's taking all those other guys. They want to see the grass is greener. Well, hey, I got calls over here. Come on over here. And that's how I'm able to grow, while these other guys and they freak out in October and they start laying everybody off and freaking out. But I learned how to retake those customers and reactivate it. And I think you had a really good analogy. What was someone with the race cars?
Yep. Just talking about the race cars. The gentleman that ran YouTube, who was their global director for YouTube, was telling me, it was last year, we were going at a conference, and he said, race cars never make the pass in the straightaway. That's where everyone's cruising along. It's always in those turns, right, where they really make their passes and get to the front of the line. And I think that's where you're going to see the rubber meet the road here for us. It's going to be what happens in this October. And I think this October is going to be particularly challenging. I mean, this October, November, December, fourth quarter this year is probably going to be one of the most challenging that most of us have been around for. I mean, you have the election coming up, right? So you've got the natural decline because of demand services, because of the shoulder. You've got marketing costs getting higher in the all channels because they're saturated with campaign spending. Customer sentiment is at a pretty much all-time low, and almost 1 in 5 Americans right now are maxed out on their credit cards. So you combine these factors with some of the challenges we're seeing and actually just demand for the trades right now. And I think, to your point, this October is going to be, October, November, December are going to be some of our most challenging times that I think a lot of us have seen in a long time.
Well, we also have got credit declines too. I mean, they got maxed out credit cards, but now they also, their credit shot, they can't get approved. And, you know, I've had, you know, hundreds of thousands in credit decline the last couple of months. And it's the same problem. I talk to everybody across the board. So if you guys are listening to this, you're not alone. You're not, there's nothing special about your market. There's nothing. It doesn't matter what state you are anywhere right now. That's a problem, right? And this is one of the things we have to talk about. Like, we have to figure out, right? And if you guys are really listening to this stuff, like, how do we really dial in our processes? How do we get something, you know, how do we create those customers and get back in front of those customers in October? You know, and obviously, I don't really like to shamelessly plug my stuff, but I know, obviously, we built RP1 based off a need for the industry, right? I've created tens of thousands of tune-up leads and leads over the last couple months. We launched RP1 in February. We've literally generated tens of thousands of leads, right? And I used it to launch my business. I took my existing database. I came out here to Dallas, right? This business was doing $45,000 a month. All I did was take all their customers in their database that ever been in there, put them in RP1, and all of a sudden we're booking 8 to 12 calls a day. And now I'm getting these guys busy, and we're selling month after month. Like, the last couple of months, it's like over almost $500,000 in 60 days off the existing database. And this was a home warranty database. It wasn't even like it was a freaking high-end database or anything, right? And, and the reason we're able to do that is not only getting back in front of them, but obviously figuring out a process that works. And I told, you know, I was telling Katie, I'm like, I'm from Southern California. Like, Texas hasn't seen this shit before. Nobody operates in Texas like I do, because I'm used to a 10-month shoulder season. I'm used to running tune-ups. We make our money off tune-ups year round. And this is the this is how I've taught people to make money. So I've been training this tune-up process for, you know, almost 4 years now. I've been training it to companies all over the country. And any company that I partner with, all of a sudden we turn into this tune-up company. We changed from being a broken down, waiting for the unit to break, to all of a sudden being a tune-up company. And I created a process that they can do day in and day out that's going to generate revenue. And my guy today, we're joking, we're like, we looked at the numbers, and we're here in Texas. It's 100 degrees out, you know, 95 degrees out. He has a higher revenue and higher closing percentage on tune-ups than he does on repair calls. Right. And he's like, holy shit, I didn't think about that. I'm like, well, tune-ups are a different model, right? Because the repair, you're already back against the wall, right? I tell you, your back's against the wall. You're already Googling, what can it be? All this stuff. You're freaking out. You're sweating your house. You have this anxiety when the technician shows up. And it's a whole different customer than, hey, you've already been out here before. I liked you last time. You're coming out here to do a tune-up. I always say it's like the Trojan horse, right? I'm a Trojan horse. I'm coming in. And then all of a sudden now, hey, now we're here. Now there's a problem, right? And it allows us to have access to the entire home, take our time. And obviously, I'm not saying lie and steal, but I'm saying, like, when you get there, hey, you can take your time to open the coil, open up that blower motor, you know, go through the entire system. Where in the summertime, you're just running and gunning as fast as you can to get these things fixed to get on to your next call. So if you guys don't have a process in place for tune-ups, like, you should be kicking yourself in the butt.
I could not agree more. We talk about that all the time. And that's the market we're going into, right? That's where you're going to see success. Because when you come into that situation, it's unforeseen and unplanned most of the time. And trust is one of the biggest indicators in that space for consumers. They want to know they can trust you. If you've been in the house before, if you've got that established relationship, the trust is already there, and they're going to listen, and they're being more inclined. I totally agree with you 100%. And you don't have to plug your products. I'll plug them. Because one of the things, I mean that seriously, because one of the things we're telling people, we're a digital marketing company, and I'm talking about somebody else's marketing product, because that's the market we're going into. We've all got to make, I call it marketing operations. Marketing operations has to be on point for this coming quarter that we're going into right now, the third quarter and fourth quarter, because that's where you're going to really see success. That's where you're going to move the needle. You can survive just by doing what you're currently doing and getting by and spending more in PPC and spending more in LSA and leaning into SEO. But where you're really going to start to make the incremental lift to your business is going to be that marketing operations, your outbound calling, your lead nurturing, your how you're running the calls for revenue, those tune-ups, your membership clubs. All of that's going to be, I think, where the incremental lifts are going to occur in third and fourth quarter.
No, 100%. And not even just that, right? Obviously, you have your current customers, right? You have your digital marketing. But I've had a conversation, a couple podcasts, I think it was ago with Josh Kelly. And we were talking about is that everybody's gotten so fucking lazy, especially on the private equity side. And all these guys, all they do is just throw more money at shit. And one of the first things that I did when we got into Dallas, I said, how do we get more hand-to-hand combat? How do we get into our community? How do we get involved? And one of my friend Sarah, she's a Gerardo, she's amazing, right? She worked at Service Champions North. We're both Service Champions guys. I'm from the South, she's from the North. We won't both like to say ours is better. But, talking to her, that's her whole job at Service Champions. And how do we do guerrilla marketing? How do I get out in my community? How do I become part of that little league or that baseball team? Or, hey, maybe how do I go, do a giveaway at a library or whatever it is, and really try to figure out a way to get involved, right? And I said, when was the last time you went around and you had a conversation with someone that runs an HOA, right? One of the things that we did in Arizona is we started doing coffee and donuts for the 85 or the 55 and older communities. So we go to the communities every Saturday, we eat coffee and donuts, bring the coffee and donuts in, and then we made a flat rate price for that entire community. If you need a new system, you only pay this much from us. Doesn't matter who you are in the community, right? Things like that, where you can really get hand to hand and really create a relationship, getting out to trade shows, all those things that I think a lot of us forgot about, or BNI groups. And people are like, oh, I don't want to spend the money. It doesn't have to be the owner, right? Some of you guys are not the best at communicating and getting out there. Maybe you're too busy. You can hire somebody that's outgoing, that's bubbly, that really believes in your company, and can talk about you, be your big cheerleader, and go out to do that. Because I know when I first started, like for me, like that's all I had no money. I started with 10 grand. I had to grow this business. I grew it literally grassroots, right? I always talk about one of the first marketing things I did is I went to my buddy that owned a pizza shop and I said, hey, how much would you charge me to put a flyer on every single pizza box? He's like, well, $200 for the month. I'm like, okay. He's like, well, you got to come put them on. So I sat there, me and my kids would sit there with glue sticks and glue these fucking things on every single pizza box, right? Well, that created a community, because now he only delivers pizzas in this small area, right? And they already know him as the pizza guy. Now the pizza guy is partnering with the HVAC guy, and we call them the pizza box flyer or the pizza box mail tune-ups. And we started selling those things like crazy because we brought the community together, right? And these are little things that you can do where it doesn't cost you money, right? It doesn't cost you money to go meet the HOA person. It doesn't cost you money. You're the small guy. Go to the real estate agent down the road and say, hey, I'm Victor with Fast Response Heating and Air. I would love to be your go-to person for all of your new home inspections or whatever it is. Get your stickers out there. Do the things that people don't want to do, especially the private equity people. They're just not going to do it. They're going to do the bare minimum. They're going to spend as much money as they possibly can, and they're going to hope and pray that works. But they forgot that company was probably built off a community.
Yeah. Well, first, you dropped two solid names there. Josh and Sarah are both amazing. So whatever they said, I agree with hands down, just because I wouldn't dare not. But I'll tell you, one of the best return on investment campaigns I ever saw was during COVID. A guy named Brandon Williams from Anthony's Plumbing down in Arizona went, when toilet paper was all the rage, like no one could get toilet paper, he went and got a huge thing of toilet paper, individually wrapped the toilet paper rolls, and brought them to people's houses and just put his flyer on top. Yeah. It was genius because everybody grabbed the toilet paper roll and everyone looked at who brought, the toilet paper fairy was that brought the toilet paper to his house. He had one of the best return on investments. It's that whole building relationship, building trust. For us, it's really, we always kind of build our entire system around three things. It's, can I trust you? How much and how fast? Those are the things we always try and answer for the customers in the space, because that's what they're looking for.
Well, and the other thing, I talk to my coaching clients a lot, and one of the things, like a lot of business is made through those Facebook community groups too.
Yeah.
And those are free groups, right? You can even get on the Nextdoor app, but I get in the Facebook community groups, I get in the mom groups. I'll have my employees, right? So my employees' wives, if they're sitting at home, I will pay them to go into those groups and post about us and do things like that to generate leads. And if they generate leads, I'm like, hey, your husband gets to work closer to home too. But I'd pay them $25 for every lead that they would generate in those groups. But one of the things that I would do is I would go into all the local community groups, and every month, and I still do this, and you guys can do it as well. Every month I would go in, and I don't ever go in and sell. I just go in and give them a tip. Right. And like right now, heading into October, so the end of September, I'm going to run a promo in every one of those groups and say, hey, if you're watching this video, September is the best time to change your air filter. Summer's coming to an end. If you don't know how to change it or know your size, I'll send one of my technicians out to do it. If you do know your size, all you do is fill out information in this, fill out this form, and my team will reach out and we'll send you a free filter. Right. And we'll actually send them a free filter to anybody that's in our community. Well, now they're giving me name, email, phone number, and address and all this stuff. And they're giving me all this stuff, and I'm sending their filters. Right. And then the second I get on as soon as they fill out that form, I said, hey, this is Victor with Fast Response. I saw you filled out the form for the free air filter. We're going to get that thing sent out in the mail. When was the last time your furnace was serviced? Perfect. Well, we're running a special for a $39 tune-up right now. While we go out there, why don't we just set up a tune-up? I'll have my technician bring the fainter filter while we're there, and we'll do a tune-up. And I just put it out there, and we'll do it for free in our community. And I'm telling you, this is how we started getting crazy amount of leads for free and dominating it. And you circle back to COVID, I actually went into my community and I put on there, everybody in my community, whoever wants a free filter, I'll deliver it. And I literally, because I had no employees in my business, so like we did 5 million in 2019, or no, 2019, we were first year in business. We did $5 million. All of a sudden, I have all these employees, and all of a sudden, COVID hits, and I had no employees left. And I'm like sitting in my office trying to figure out what to do, trying to stay in business. And that's what I did. I loaded up. I would call my parts house and say, hey, can I stock me up with filters? And I literally went to people, to everybody in my community that wanted a free filter. I went and dropped it off on their porch. But I created this whole community, and everybody started remembering, hey, that's the guy that hooked us up during COVID. He came around all the house. I got the videos of me in a mask and delivering filters and stuff. But I did it myself because I was trying to survive. But I didn't think about what is going to happen, a snowball effect. Over time, people, like, I became the go-to person in the community.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important. Again, that's that vector for sure. I think you got to do those things to build that up. So, and those own campaigns, to your point, building that culture, I think are tremendous. And to your point, people don't want to do that work, and the PEs aren't going to. It's a great way to beat that guerrilla marketing, that ground game.
Yeah, and we will, obviously, with RP1 and Rocket Bookings, so we have Rocket Bookings, which is the actual call center. We will dial and call, and we will guarantee you, we set it in package. If you, we want $250 calls a month, we'll guarantee you. The flat rate will guarantee you 250. If we get you more, that's great. If we don't get you 250, we won't charge you for the next month, right? And we have so much confidence in that because we use that combines RP1 and outbound calling. And what we found is that most people, like, they say the outbound, but their outbounding team really isn't any good, right? They're just like, here, call this list. Well, they're using a one-by-one dialer, and then the person usually they're calling, they just hang up before anybody answers anyways. So we built entire software with an auto dialer that we hold almost like 10 times more people per day with one person than you probably could with your whole staff. Just amount of
we
contact.
We listen to thousands. Yeah. And we listen to thousands of calls, Victor. And I'll tell you the biggest thing, we can tell when people have been outbounding because it demoralizes them.
Well,
you can get that through a service. It changes the entire method of the CSRs because now their job is to give the best service on that call that comes in and treat that call with 100%. Like, that's my primary focus. If they just did 200 calls outbound and got hung up 199 times, is that really the person you want taking that inbound call?
Well, I also said it's a different person. An inbound call center rep is a completely different person than an outbound shark, right? And making a person that's used to fishing all day and freaking telling to go hunting, right? Now you got to go hunting. And they sit around these and wait, and it's a total different beast. And so, like, that's something that we took over. Then we also found with RP1, like, obviously we sell the software where you can do everything yourself. We actually decided, okay, we found that most people that buy software don't use it because they're too lazy to train their staff and actually implement it. So, you know, when I first launched it, I said, why don't we do a paid for you? We'll do automations. We'll reply to the messages. We'll book your call through the RP1, and we'll actually call and confirm them for you. We'll put them in a server side and call and confirm them. You don't touch it. Your board just fills up all day. And when
you took the words out of, oh, sorry, go ahead.
And when we built that out, like, now that's all the private, when a private equity group comes to us, that's all they want. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to manage it. I said, look, just give us the list, give us access to service time, and we'll book everything. You won't touch anything. We'll just give you hundreds of leads a month. And they're like,
you
holy shit.
You took the words out of my mouth on the forms thing too. The outbound calls are not, and inbound calls, those are different beasts, but so are forms. The people that put forms in, they actually still need to be sold.
Yep.
If you're calling, it's not something you're shopping, right? You can make it. I always tell people this all the time. You can make a water heater look like Brad Pitt. I'm still not buying a new water heater until my water heater fails, right? Yep. But if you have a form that comes in, they're still not shopping a little bit. They still need to be sold. Yet we use the same staff and the same processes for forms that we use for phone calls, and that doesn't cut it. It's a different shopper. You're meeting them at a different place in the journey for sure. I didn't mean to keep cutting you off, but I was so excited about that because I totally agree with you.
Well, we have someone that's dedicated. That's all they do is our inbound leads, right? Lead forms off Facebook, yes, stuff like that. And even Yelp, Facebook, whatever those leads are, Google leads, whatever it is, you have to incentivize them. I actually pay them per booking on those. So rather than just paying them an hourly, I pay them $5 per call that they book on any kind of form fill. And the reason we do that is because we want to motivate them to do it, but we know that they have to be motivated because that person is on the other end. They have to be, like you said, they have to be resold. And, you know, Facebook's one of the hardest ones, right? That's our Facebook booking rate is probably double everybody else's because we have someone that's all they do all day is their lead aggregator. That's all they do is handle those leads all day long. They don't answer inbounds. They don't do anything else. That's all they do is focus on those leads. And that's something we see a dramatic increase of booking. That's, like I said, everyone's like, how are you building this business so fast? I said, I don't let a fucking lead go out the door. I look at every lead like it's my money and I opt. And if I don't get my money back, I'm gonna be fucking pissed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think then you look at the balance, right? To your point, like, you got to be getting leads from Facebook, but those close at a different rate than local service ads. That's account, that's the top of the funnel, but those, and they're the best, but there's only a limited amount of those. So I always try and fill the bucket with LSA and Facebook calls and leads coming from those two products. And then you lean into Google paid and your SEO. So, I mean, how do you balance all of those in your portfolio? And again, I think it goes back to how you started with, you got to look at what's happening today on your board and then where I want to be next month, next year, you know, next quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, if you know anybody that's ever grown any big business, right? Like, I think they understand marketing, right? And really on channel. And even like when I talk about, when I do sales training, you know, I've trained, you know, thousands of people at this point all over the country. I even talk about how I run, like, you know, everyone like has SOPs, right? I have a different process for my guys to run Facebook leads than I do Google leads. I have a written process.
Those are different.
I have a different process on how to run a Facebook lead. If you're running a Facebook estimate, this is how you run it. It's a different buyer than a Google, and it's a different buyer than my club member or whatever it is, right? And so many people, they think that every, you know, one size fits all. And you really have to get granular within your business to really start figuring out how to win. And I say, you know, that was my background. I'm in sales. And I always said you had to understand your enemy before you can win, right? And if you guys are going at everybody, you're trying to fight everybody the same way, you're going to, you know, you might run into a jujitsu guy, but this guy's a fucking striker and he's going to pop you in the face, right? And if you go in a fight with a striker and you try to go fucking dive at him, he pops you in the face, you're screwed. So you just got to really think about how you're going about who you're against. And this comes down to training too. Like, I'm like, obviously you can go out and get training, and obviously why I provide a lot of online, we have our online training platform through Apex. But for me, like, I'm a relentless trainer. Like, if you go, like, this morning, you know, I made my guys breakfast and we went through an hour and a half long training today, right? And we had how to present options, how to overcome those objections. We went through all the things that we're having struggles with. And I use, I don't know if you know much about Xero, but I use Xero and really identify. So I took Xero and I put my entire blueprint process in there, my call process. They analyze it. So my guys go in and listen and see where they're failing at. And then I analyze which part of that failure, right? Where are they failing at right now? We take it, okay, the group's failing at this point here. That's what we train on that day. So I'm not just trying to train on the same thing all the time. I look what we suck at, and then I train on that. And just like anything else, I always say to people, like, if someone comes in and they talk about, you know, I have an air scrubber rep come in and we talk about air scrubbers, magically they sell air scrubbers that day. If I have a rep come in, or we come in and we start talking about memberships, magically memberships go up. So really taking those key KPIs that you're failing at and then really attacking those in your training every single day.
Yeah, that's that passing in the curve we were talking about, right? That's where those incremental lifts are going to come from. And that's what's going to separate the winners and the losers, I think, to this quarter is, are you getting the leads in? Are you getting them in based off what you need on the board? And then are you making the most of every opportunity down to your booking rate, to your run rate, to your average ticket? I mean, all of those things have to be spot on, and using the tools. You know, you and I didn't spend a lot of time talking about AI, but there's a lot of AI tools. You just mentioned like three or four of them in the last few minutes here. Every one of those are going to make a game-changing difference. Sam Altman, who is the CEO ChatGPT. I was just listening to a podcast he'd done about 5 months ago where he talks about the fact that the first $1 billion company is out there, first one man or one person, $1 billion company is in existence right now. And it's because they can lean into these AI tools and really make a difference. You find one of those little niches, like you said, talk about membership. You guys didn't mention that. Now I'm going to mention it today. I'm going to sell 5 memberships. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with some of those tools.
Well, it's even that, like, you know, obviously, you know, I built, even with RP1, right, like, I built up our follow-up. It has all of its AI follow-up. So, like, it's calling behind every call. If I don't sell a membership, it's offering a membership, and AI will try to sell the membership. It does AI rehash. So after every lead, if we repair, it's going to sell that repair different than it's going to sell a replacement lead. So we trained it on all the different nuances, and I took it and personally trained it on how to overcome those objections and respond. And we're finding, like, you know, a lot of times you're gonna be with money on the table because whether they're too busy, they're tired, they're in a bad mood that day, they didn't give options. Like, we even have it trained in the AI that if my technician, so read from ServiceTitan, if the unit's over 10 years old and we did it $1,000 in repairs, it's actually gonna say, hey, it looks like we put a repairs for you today. I'm glad we're able to get you up and running. Did my technician talk to you about replacement? And you'd be surprised how many of those were actually flipping and converting in estimates and were replacing because the technician didn't bother to ask. Right. And we're really trying to, like, obviously eliminate those pain points, eliminate those drop points. And that's why, like, how I built my software is because I built it how I would like to run my business. Cause I want to be me, relentless motherfucker. Okay. Like, I want to be relentless on everything, on the front end, reactivating my customers, on the back end, the follow up, asking for reviews, memberships. Like, I'm trying to pick up every dollar I can. And so many people will step over dollars to pick up pennies. Like, RP1 is like $700 a month. Okay. At $700 a month, I make that back in day one almost every fucking day. Right. And some of these people, like, they're like, I don't want to spend that. That's too much money. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? You spend more money on, like, that's a cost of one run cap. You sell one run cap a month and most, like, that my run caps are $1,000. I sell one run cap, pays for it. And, like, some people, like, they think so ass backwards. It doesn't make sense to me.
And you take the tech out of it, right? Like a lot of times I hear tech say all the time, well, I didn't make that recommendation because I wouldn't want it. Well, but you're not that person. You're not that shopper. And to your point, I've seen a lot of those, and I've seen people literally come back and say, thank you for recommending that. You know I needed it, but I just needed to be asked, or I just needed to be told to do it. It helps them.
Most customers are mad when you don't recommend something, right?
Yes.
Like, you know,
because if someone's selling it to them, if your heater doesn't work in Minnesota, I'm in Minnesota. Your heater doesn't work in January, Minnesota. Someone's selling me a new furnace.
Well, I tell people all the time, it's like I look at when I go to a service call, it's like if I go to the doctor for a checkup, right? And I go to, and I might have some symptoms. I got these things going on. I got a cough. I got a cold. And I got some symptoms going on. And the doctor comes in. He's like, well, yeah, this is what's going on. You got a flu or you got a cold. Here's some medicine, right? Well, he didn't bother to take the time to check the blood pressure, check everything else out, check all these things out. And all of a sudden, now you have cancer, but he only gave you flu medicine, right? Or he only gave you stuff to help you with a cold. You didn't mention the cancer, right? And now all of a sudden, a month later, they got cancer. And they're like, why didn't you say anything? Well, you had a cold that day. Like, come on, bro. Like, you want to know. I always say, don't shoot the messenger. My job is to educate and show the customer what's going on and give them recommendations. And if the rec want to move forward with, perfect. If they don't, no problem. At least I let you know. You can't be mad at me later.
Right. And I think that 10 people appreciate it. They really do. And ultimately, the business we're in, that's the business that we're in. It's solving problems for people. And that doesn't mean just the problems today. It means the problems they're going to have in a month from now or in a year from now.
These guys don't understand. I used to do oil changes for $6 an hour. And the only way to be out of the oil pit was to recommend shit and sell shit. And I'm like, man, you guys, some of these technicians and these sales guys, I mean, they get paid stupid amounts of money just by recommending something. And I'm like, you can make $300 by recommending one part, dude. I used to make that my whole freaking paycheck working, 60 hours a day selling oil change shit, And it's like, if you really look at the opportunity, and obviously I think that's something that I think the newer generation is a little bit different than the older generation. Like we're really forward thinking. And I think that's what, my audience or the people that are around me, that they get excited because they're like me, man. Like none of us want to do this for 20 years. I just don't. I don't want to own these businesses for 20, 25 years and hand it down. All of us want to grow these things fast, get the hell out and go chill on a beach somewhere. And that's like the generation that I'm in. And that, I think I'm almost like one of the people that's like spearheading it. Like, hey, let's change the mindset. Tommy had A1 for a long time, but like, I want to get in and get out and go get paid and go have fun because I don't want to work the rest of my life. And I think that's a lot of how the millennials are. And I think that's what a lot of the contractors you're seeing nowadays are really starting to think and be more forward thinking and looking at those KPIs and numbers and really just hammering it down for 5 years so they can get out.
Yeah. And I think that's where you've got to have all those striking the same way and everything firing the same way, right? You've got to have your marketing lined up. You've got to have your operations lined up from the call center to the sales and the truck to dispatch. Everything's got to be lined up and firing on all cylinders in order to get this thing sold in 5 years. If that's what you want to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, Katie, I'm not going to hold you. I mean, we could talk all day. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we'll talk again. I think we're talking about having you out in October in New York, which is going to be badass. But it's been great having you on. How does anybody hold of Camp Digital or get a hold of you if they're interested in talking about marketing?
Well, I appreciate that. So Camp Digital, you can look us up online, campdigital.com. Otherwise, you can reach out to me directly, katie@campdigital.com, K-A-T-I-E. At campdigital.com. I'm happy to take any emails or anything anybody needs. And Victor, I really do hope we get a chance to talk again soon because I literally just on this podcast loved everything you said and learn every single time I talk to you. I really do appreciate it.
Awesome. It was great having you on. Thank you guys again for listening and tuning in. Obviously, I don't do any advertisement on this show. I don't take any ads, but I do request that you guys share, like, comment, try to get more people to listen to the podcast. The more people that listen to it, the more motivates me to want to keep doing it. And I enjoy it. My number one thing though is always try to find something, even if it's one thing you can take out of this, you can implement right away, right? And it's not all about trying to implement 100 things at a time. Take one thing from this episode and go implement that tomorrow. And that's going to mean more to me than anything else. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks again, Katie, for joining me.
Thank you. Have a great night.
See ya.